I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Well, before we get into it, I think we should talk about Real Housewives of Dallas will be changing forever.
Right. Leanne Locken announced her departure from the show.
After four seasons, no more Leanne.
I feel like it was the only move that would make sense at this point.
Yeah, I think it is perhaps the responsible thing to do.
Right.
I like that she was the one to present the information. She was able to control that narrative. She also like got a little haircut. So there's like a whole new woman.
Yeah.
We are faced with.
It is going to change the show dramatically, though, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, she is in some ways probably the face of Dallas in a lot of respects. I think she's one of the more recognizable ones to people who might not watch the show. So it's definitely going to be very different without her. But for all we know, there could be some new blood joining the cast.
If it's even coming back.
If it's even coming back, which it better be. Okay. All right, what are we talking today?
All right, well, we have Real Housewives of New Jersey, reunion part one.
Oh, yes.
Talking about reunions is my favorite. Shaws of Sunset and Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Plus, I interviewed MJ from Shaws of Sunset and Luke Gulbranson from Summer House. He's our newest cast member.
I mean, I know you were excited to interview him. You're like, I'll do it.
Yep.
I was like, okay.
I volunteer. And of course, we're going to wrap up with Rose and Thorn.
Yes.
All right, Jersey.
Okay, my first thoughts watching this, Jennifer came out hot, like gunning for Melissa.
Yeah. It seemed to be one of those things where she wanted to make sure from the get-go she was a heavy hitter at this reunion.
Right.
Because, you know, seating charts are always kind of important. Where you're sitting on those couches kind of ranks you in terms of what you've brought to the season. So obviously the most coveted seat next to Andy. Jennifer and Jackie are on the outside. So I think Jennifer, from the get, was like, I'm just going to absolutely jump on everything that everyone says at every chance I get.
Yeah, it just felt like she wanted to be like, I'm here too. Like,
right.
You know, whatever they're talking about. And me. And it's like, okay, Jennifer, we see you.
The one thing I will say, though, is she did come in very hot, but I did appreciate that they addressed Melissa's storylines.
Or lack thereof.
Exactly. Because I think a lot of the chatter online and the blogs and everything over the last, you know, season or two has been, is Melissa kind of forcing these things to have a storyline? Is it Jennifer's place to question that? Probably not. And, you know, she also was a little bit breaking the fourth wall in that she was like, well, you're just making up storylines to be on the show. And it's like, well, you can't use that against her. Like, those are not the rules, Jennifer. Like, work with what has been presented on the show and use that against the ladies.
Yeah.
Not like this breaking the fourth wall. Like, are you planning all this stuff that's not real? Like, that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I went through everything.
No,
I'm done with everything other than freezing of the egg.
Why?
The actual in vitro. Because she doesn't want a baby.
What, you wanted her to have in vitro and actually birth a child?
Yes!
For you? To prove a fucking point.
No, wait, no, I don't give a fuck. I'm not the one who brought it up. She's the one who made it her fake-ass storyline.
But even Andy asked it. I mean, it was a question about Melissa's storylines being made up. But I don't know. It's like, who are we to question what she went through in terms of like trying to have another baby?
It is going. Yeah. I mean, and 40 is, I'm sure, a very pivotal time.
Yeah.
For a woman.
Right. Well, even looking at last season, it reminded me of, and I might have talked about this on the podcast before, where my mom, she didn't know her dad, which we can even get into a little bit of Margaret in this conversation. And a few years ago, we did like the Ancestry.com, a bunch of research, tracked him down and tracked down other relatives of hers, including cousins and also like half siblings. But my mom never really pursued the half siblings beyond that. She got in touch with some of her cousins and we met with some of the family. We saw pictures. We had a whole thing. But my mom's story kind of stopped there. So just because Melissa never found her sister doesn't mean that that wasn't a thing that happened to her, you know? Like,
right.
Everyone kind of makes a choice at a certain point. Like, do I need to go further in this journey of finding these people who don't know me, who I don't know how they're going to receive me? Like, I mean, maybe she was just like, I don't need to, maybe there isn't a sister. They weren't even sure if there was
a
sister
exactly.
out there. So leave Melissa alone.
I know.
What about Margaret's dad and the conversations they were having about her kids? Like, we were peeling back some layers of Margaret that I don't think we've really seen on the show.
Right. Yeah, that was interesting for sure.
He was also a Hungarian immigrant. They were married only for a year and a half. My mother left him. I never really knew him. We never had a relationship.
Do you know if Florida. Your father is alive?
Everybody asked that. Should we hunt him down? I said, no, he's going to need cash. It'll be a disaster. But, of course, me, I go to the psychic medium, and she's like, your father has passed on. I'm like, okay, great.
Were you surprised at all by the fact that Margaret didn't really want to find her father or be in touch with him?
I could just not relate to that.
Yeah.
Like, I just did grow up with a very, like, close nuclear family. So there's so much of nature versus nurture. So it's like, you know, where did I get this from? Or is this why I'm like that?
Yeah.
So that's very interesting that she just has no interest in it.
Well, they brought it up too. I think Andy was the one to address the age gap between her and her first husband was significant. And it was kind of tying back. And Margaret even admitted very similar to Ashley Darby on Potomac at the last reunion, talking about her relationship with Michael and sort of maybe the lack of father figure causes you to want to, you're attracted to someone like that, or you want to create your own family and you have different priorities maybe in who you're looking for in a partner. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then, you know, the stuff about Margaret being a mom and her own kids and like the stuff Jennifer had said earlier this season, all of that sort of came into play as well.
Yeah. I will say though, my father and I have a great relationship and I love his daddy. So right. I don't know that one always means the other.
Yeah, right. It doesn't totally correlate. And I think that's okay too. You don't need to have daddy issues to love a daddy. Margaret and Jennifer too, just the way they get into it about the mothering thing and all of it. I mean, that whole couch that Margaret's on, her, Melissa, Jackie, I don't think they're ever going to see eye to eye with Jennifer. And I will say everyone on that couch, Jackie, Melissa, Margaret, when we've had them on the podcast and we've interviewed them or I've talked to them outside of that, each one of them seems to, when Jennifer comes up, they immediately kind of like, oh, you know, there's always a reaction. There's always a little bit of an eye roll. There's something. I think just at the end of the day, they don't get her. And we've learned about Teresa over the years that all it really takes for Teresa to like you is to make her laugh. And I think Jennifer does that. And we saw that with Danielle. So I think, you know, it makes sense as to why Teresa still likes Jennifer. I'm a little confused about Dolores. Like, I don't even really understand how Dolores and Jennifer vibe the way that they do, because they seem to be very different people.
Right.
But I don't know, maybe sometimes opposites attract.
Yeah.
I did want to talk a little bit about Jackie, and obviously her eating disorder comes up at this part of the reunion, and they talk about her experience on the season and what her experience has been like growing up. And it got me thinking about sort of the different level of responsibility she has being on television and being in the public eye, kind of compared to these other women on the stage, because she was talking about how people who have eating disorders or have struggled with them in the past are watching the show and they're, of all people, looking to her and what she's doing. So for her to get caught eating those like quinoa chips or whatever they were for breakfast, like she was sort of like, oh my God, like that clicked for her.
I was embarrassed. Yeah.
I have problems eating breakfast. I didn't know that the cameras caught me eating the quinoa puff chips. And when I saw that, I said, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
But why were you embarrassed? I'll own it.
Just because, first of all, my children are watching and I don't want them to think that it's okay to not eat. I also feel like a lot of people with eating disorders are watching me now and I don't want to fall back into any really bad habits.
So I thought that was kind of interesting because there's definitely a different lens, I think, that Jackie must watch the show through compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
You know?
I just feel in general, like, it's like we just are waiting to catch someone fail. And it's like, whether someone has issues with sobriety or with an eating disorder, it doesn't seem like it's ever very supportive. It's more like, you're doing this weird thing. I think that means, it's like, why?
Why are we so quick to jump on that?
Yeah, like, it's not a good thing for someone to relapse.
Do you think it ties back to, like, ancient Roman gladiator days where all we want to do is watch people like fail?
Yeah.
And get murdered by lions.
And maybe it is a bit like survival of the fittest and we're just like, well,
right,
if you're failing, I'm winning.
Yeah, it's like something primal.
We can all win.
Right. Oh, my God.
I love, like, when people are like, there's enough room at the top for everyone. I'm like, there isn't. That doesn't even make sense.
Right. That's not how it works.
Yeah, you can't all be CEOs, okay? So, like, you have to knock some people out of the way.
That's true. That's true. On a slightly more positive note, I did enjoy the reflection on Jennifer's family and everything that her mother went through to learn how to be more accepting of her brother, and then watching Gabby dealing with the bullies that she was dealing with. So I did appreciate going back and revisiting that, because that was something that you and I talked about a lot this season, and how, right, you know, as much as Jennifer can be crazy and behave the way she does, seeing that particular journey for her and her family, I think, was really powerful. And that is another thing that, similar to Jackie, they sort of have a responsibility to have those conversations and be open about it. So, again, props to Jennifer.
Yeah.
What did you think about them addressing the Bethany situation with Jennifer?
Oh, said no comedian ever.
Yeah.
Maya from Medford said, Jennifer, you say you're a comedian and you love making people laugh, but Bethany Frankel had a point when she posted, said nobody funny about themselves ever. How did you feel when you saw that post?
By the time I saw it, Margaret had already jumped in on that with her two cents and was like, yeah, babe, boss babe, stick together.
No, I said truth.
Whatever, hashtag truth. Because every time somebody tries to say something publicly against
it was
me
about that comment
on social media,
this one is always quick to jump and side with them against me. It was after she insulted Bethany Frankel.
Didn't she leave Housewives? I mean, if she wants to make Tales from the Crypt a comeback, I'm sure she can get.
Oh.
She's a public figure. She should know that that's going to have ramifications, and I'm not going to take that lightly.
I also think this is wrong of me. If anyone has too much confidence, I'm like, ugh, I don't like that person. I like someone to have as much self-loathing as I do. So it's like anyone who's like, I am so funny or I'm so pretty. I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's healthy.
Right. Well, I mean, it's very Bethany of her to be like, oh, said no comedian ever, you know. And I just think that Jennifer could have rolled with the punches a little bit better on that one, as opposed to coming out hot and like coming for Bethany immediately on Watch What Happens Live and whatever. Like, you could have been a little more playful.
Yeah, I agree.
And just handled it in a bit of a different way. Because it's also like, of any housewife to go up against, Bethany is probably not the one.
Yeah.
And Margaret even co-signed the comment. And like, yeah, Margaret was sort of like, no, I wasn't coming for you. I wasn't trying to say anything. It was just that, you know, I thought it was funny. I agreed.
But this was only part one, and we still have part two and part three. And we see in the sneak peeks that guys are gonna join the women on the couches,
carrying Bill out,
yes,
as they did on the Jersey Shore trip.
And then Danielle at some point,
who is not pleased at all about where her seats may be.
Yeah.
I interviewed Summer House's Luke Gulbranson. He explains why he orders olives with his beer if he feels bad about trying to date Hannah, even though she was still technically seeing Armand. And he reveals if he's ever wrote a song about her. Plus, he shares what really went down during his fight with Carl. Let's take a listen. Guys, we are here with Summer House's Luke Gulbranson. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm hungover, but
feeling
I'm
a little rough today.
Yeah, had a late night.
Well, I have an alcohol-related question for you that I'm confused by. What's with the olives in the beer?
Oh, wow. It's a northern Minnesota thing. It's called a beertini or poor man's martini.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just something that we do in northern Minnesota where any light domestic beer, we just throw two giant olives in it, and it's just a little snack at the end of your drink, and it adds a little salty aftertaste to your beer. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, because I know we talked about it, like people put pickles.
Yeah,
in their beer. I mean, people put limes in their beer too. So yeah, like,
or some Bloody Mary mix or something.
That's
true.
That's true.
Bloody beer. It's always
Are you
good.
Not a fan of the espresso martini? Because it's like you were like the seventh who could have ordered, and
yeah,
you were
it's
like.
Not, not my thing.
Not for you.
I'm not into that. Yeah, that's a little too bougie. I'll stick to my olives and my beer.
I think that's fair. All right, let's go back to the beginning of the season. When you were coming into the house, were you nervous at all about joining?
Yeah, 100%.
What was that feeling like when you first arrived?
Like, Kyle, maybe you can meet me at the front door. Like, maybe you can be like, hey, Luke. No, but nobody was there. It was for me. I just kind of walked in and was like, hi, I'm Luke, and I'm here. And it was just, yeah.
Everyone was like,
I was nervous, for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't, outside of Kyle, I didn't know anybody, so.
Right.
It was, uh, It was nerve-wracking a little bit, for sure.
So after that first dinner, especially given, you know, what went down with Kyle and yeah. everything, what were some of your first impressions of everybody?
you know, I guess, for one, Hannah, immediately I connected to her a little bit. There was a connection there because she, there was banter right away between me and Hannah.
Yeah.
And then I feel like, you know, Lindsay was cooking some hamburger in the pan, and she was using a barbecue utensils. And I was like, you can't use metal in the pan, Lindsay. And she was like, oh, excuse me. And I was like, okay, this might be interesting. But she ended up being really great, and she's a great friend. Carl was cool. I mean, I was like, damn, he's tall.
and for you to say that.
Yeah,
I mean.
yeah, he's tall. Tall dude. And then everybody else was just chill. Like, I don't know, you know what I mean? It was... I don't know. I guess I really don't have too many opinions on everybody else other than everybody was nice and like chill. Yeah.
So far this season, have you seen anything that you've been like embarrassed by?
Of course.
What?
Like everything.
I mean, it must be weird, right? Like watching yourself back on TV.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't like to watch myself on TV, to be honest with you, at all. But I do because I know that if anybody asks me a question about the show or something, I need to be able to answer it, right?
Yeah.
So, but I don't like watching myself. And when I do, I'm like, wait, I don't remember that. Oh, I was drinking.
Yeah, so, right. Well, yeah. It was also a long time ago, too. So to have to think back of, like, what happened last summer.
Yeah. No, of course. You know, the whole summer is so much fun. And, you know, you're having so much fun that you lose track of things that happen, really, honestly.
Right. Yeah. Well, one thing that happened is you had Hannah create some content for you for the jewelry brand that you have.
Yeah.
Was there a bit of an ulterior motive there in terms of, like, having some alone time?
Yeah, no, I just always try and get girls to come to the shop. And, you know, we're asking on dates, no.
Right.
A little bit. There was, of course. I felt like, you know, things with Hannah were getting to a point to where, you know, we should go on a date. And I just happened to do it in my shop, I guess, really.
Yeah.
It was just, I felt like a good opportunity to do it. And another reason why is because it was like we weren't around the rest of our friends. You know, we weren't at the house. We were away from the house. And it was just, it felt good to be able to just be me and her doing our own thing and be able to do it there.
Like yeah.
That. Yeah.
So looking back at the show, too, with... you know, Hannah coming into the house with Armand and then seeing some of the ways that she's been talking about him, like, do you feel, I don't know, weird about the flirtation that was going on between you two?
Not really. And reason being is because if she, like, here's the thing, if Hannah was really serious about Armand, I think I would have gotten the vibe from her that she was, and I would have left it alone.
Right.
I wasn't getting those vibes at all. So I continued to push the buttons a little bit and poke the bear, you know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. What was your first impression of Armand when you met him?
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a bad thing to say about him. You know, I thought he was super cool. He was nice. My intention wasn't to mess up their relationship, like I said. I felt like, you read a book, you understand what the book's about, right? So with Hannah, it was like reading a book. Like I could see, a little bit on it. You know, it's a give and take, and you know, push and pull. And she definitely was giving me, leaving the door open a bit. So
yeah,
I didn't mean to be in any way disrespectful towards Armand. I think he's a great guy, but I also didn't take their relationship seriously.
Right.
That sounds horrible.
Well, no, I mean, that's your perception of it. Yeah. Well, speaking of doors, you go knocking on her door at one point, and she says in her interview that she was actually hoping it had been Armand. So what was your reaction to that?
Wow. She's a liar.
I mean, she's
a liar.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think she maybe had some things to clear up with Armand, and that's why she was hoping it was him knocking.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, she should have cleared things up with him.
Yeah.
I mean, she definitely needed to.
Right.
Yeah.
We know that you're also, you know, a musician. Have you ever written a song about Hannah?
No, I have not.
No.
But I I've done vocal lessons with her mom, which is great.
Oh, that's cool.
My mom's a great singer.
Yeah, I love her whole family.
Yeah.
Do we get to see them at all this season?
I hope so.
Wow. I don't think so. Oh. I think I took up all Hannah's time.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. We're okay with that. So thinking about relationships, do you consider yourself more of a relationship guy or is it more of a casual dating?
No, I mean, I'm definitely a relationship guy.
Yeah.
The reality is that I came out of a 3-year relationship. And because of that, I know that I should take time and date people and have fun and take time to get over my past before I can move on. A lot of people don't do that, and they just jump from one relationship to the other.
Of course, yeah.
And that works real well. Said no one ever. So I, you know, for me, I am like, I was in a place where I was like casually dating and just kind of having fun because I needed that time to get over my past.
Yeah.
But I love a relationship. I love sharing my life with someone that I think we should all share our lives with someone. I think when you get to a point in your life where you realize that life is better when you can share it with someone you love, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. What would be your perfect first date scenario?
Oh my God. perfect first date scenario. Let's see here. Probably, I guess, you know what the truth is. You could be doing anything if it's with the right person.
That's true. But,
you know, something that has to do with maybe like a hike or sailing or something cool like that. And then definitely end with like a motorcycle ride and, you know, maybe some dinner or beer, or, you know, some beers and, you know.
Can you take me on a date?
Yeah,
please?
Let's go.
I mean, my God. No, that sounds great. I mean, I like that answer, too, because some people are like, the movies, but you don't get to talk and really get to know the person that's in that.
I think, to go to the movies on a date, right. Whether it's a first date or any date, it's like you're not talking.
No.
If you're talking, you're getting yelled at and somebody's throwing popcorn at you. No, I don't. I'm definitely not a movie person when it comes to going on a first date.
Yeah.
You know, eventually a movie's good because you're dating someone maybe you just don't want to talk to.
I'm just kidding. After you're with someone enough time, you're like, let's go to the movies.
Yeah, let's go to the movies. I don't want to talk to you for like 2 hours.
Right.
No, but I just think, something has to do with going on the bike. I love riding. So I think being on the bike and going on a cruise up like the North Shore, Lake Superior is a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, stopping for a beer and some food and, you know, maybe staying somewhere on the shore and just enjoying each other's company and walk on the beach, you know, and just doing fun things. But, or like I said, a hike is fun.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Active.
Yeah.
So the topic of infidelity has come up on the show.
Really?
Do you yeah, surprisingly. Do you feel like a relationship can survive that?
Oh, wow. I think it takes two people that are mature enough to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely can. And I think if you're the person that isn't the person, if you're the person that's not the one that's cheated, it says a lot about your character. And I tip my hat to that person because, you know, I think everybody deserves a second chance, but it takes a lot when it comes to that. And so if you can do it, you know, props to you. I don't know if I could. I'd want to if I would really love someone.
Yeah. But
God, that's a tough one, you know.
Right.
That's why I said, so it says a lot about the person that can forgive. I think forgiveness is very important, but it's easier said than done.
Yeah. Do you think kind of on the flip side of that, relationships that come out of infidelity, can those survive in the same way?
So you're saying if someone cheated and they...
And then they stay with that person.
I mean, they can. I mean, maybe that's the right person for someone. I don't know. I think they can, but I think most often something like that is more like a lust than love type thing.
Right.
And it's not really reality. It doesn't last. But
it's not really built on like trust.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, clearly there's no trust there, right?
Like, right, right.
I mean, they can last and if they do good for that person, but at the same time, it's like you're both shitty people. Figure the fuck out.
I want to talk a little bit about Carl and Lindsay, specifically the boot camp situation. Do you think that it was appropriate for Carl to basically ask the trainer out kind of in front of Lindsay?
Oh, wow. Yeah. You know, I think that, I mean, he didn't really ask her out in front of Lindsay.
Yeah, she was like around the corner.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, I don't think it really mattered because they weren't seeing each other at that point in time.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, he didn't do it right in front of her face. She didn't know until after the fact. So I get it, but at the same time, if he really wanted to ask her out and like he did it where it wasn't like right in front of her, I mean, I don't see a problem because they weren't dating.
Yeah.
At that point in time, you know, if they were dating, it'd be completely fucked.
And right.
That would go over real well in the house. But I just feel like it was okay. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they're both adults, and Lindsay's, you know, she can handle it. Like she's a strong woman.
Yeah.
You know, if there was an issue, they should be able to hash it out and talk about it. But,
right. Well, because they are best friends fundamentally first, so you would hope that. So I think we see in the teaser for next week's episode that you actually end up asking Sarah out as well. What is it that causes the fight between you and Carl?
Carl's insecurities.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, but that's the truth, and I called him out on that, and that pissed him off even more. But Sarah and I were talking about rock climbing. I mean, I crossed that line with Hannah and Armand a little bit, but I guess for me, I didn't take their relationship so serious.
Yeah.
And that sounds horrible to say, but like, I mean, you can see that in the episodes where like, I mean, what was it?
No, of course. There's a lot of like blurred lines on this season between Carl and Lindsay, between, you know, Hannah and Armand. I mean, I think Paige and her boyfriend, it was much more clear where their line was drawn. And so, you know, I understand that. That makes sense.
I had this thing where she always did like a downward dog in Barry's. And I mean, she's a good looking girl. So I would tease Carl a little bit. I would do like a downward dog every time when someone bring up Sarah, just to push his buttons and fuck with him a little bit. This is him being insecure. And I told him that. I said, you're just fucking insecure, dude. That's your problem. And, you know, we all have insecurities. Oh, I have insecurities.
Of course,
we all
do.
So there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. So then I just kind of started laughing, and I was like, I can't deal with this.
Yeah.
So Carl's a great dude, man. I love him to death. He's a great friend. That was just a really heated moment we had over the summer, and I'm glad it didn't get any worse. I told him, I said, I'd rather be in the foxhole with you. I'm not trying to fight.
Against
you, brother. I'm not trying to do you wrong.
Yeah.
You know? And he knows that, but he didn't really know me either at the time.
You
know?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's funny you bring up Carl's insecurities, because I think Hannah even mentions it to Lindsay at one point when they're having a conversation.
Probably.
And, you know, it kind of makes sense that, you know, there's a lot of what he's dealing with internally is affecting his relationships on the outside, from Lindsay to the way he reacts to you and all of that. I, like, we were talking about it on the podcast recently about Carl 3.0. So season 3 Carl,
I mean,
was
what,
a different
is
guy.
Is he like a MacBook or something?
Pretty much. Yeah, there's like different additions. Yeah. But on Carl 3.0, like last season on season 3, he was pursuing Paige, and he was of a different guy, you know.
Well, listen, Carl's a single guy, and if he's single, he can pursue anybody he wants.
Yeah.
And he should do whatever he wants, and he does. And you know, at the end of the day, whatever's going to make him happy is what he should do. And,
yeah.
And I think Carl's a great guy. He's extremely funny, and he's a good friend. And I'm rooting for him. I hope he's, you know, ends up with someone that makes him happy. But in the meantime, be single, date around, and have fun, brother.
Right. Right. Just like not with Lindsay.
Yeah. I mean, you can take anything for a test drive. You know, you got to figure it out.
That's fair. Like,
you know, you got to test drive the car before you buy it, right?
Yeah, it's true.
You know, you don't know. Maybe him and Lindsay are good, you know, but they got to go after and figure it out and see if
Yeah. Since this is your first season, what has been the hardest part about being on Summer House?
Wow.
You're like, just one?
Well, for instance, the big fight. The first episode, the big fight that happened at dinner, I was like, are they serious right now? Like, are they really fighting about this right now? Like, this is comical.
Right.
I was like, this is insane. Like, the shit that they're fighting over is insane.
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with these people? Like, why? I'm like, dude, who the fuck cares when you get married? Like, I don't care. Why does somebody care so much about when you get married? Or like talking at a table, just shut up.
Yeah.
Like, grow the fuck up, man.
Right.
And for me throughout the summer, there were a lot of people trying to be in my business, involved in my business. And I don't like that. And I thought that they needed to fucking keep their eye on their own bobber, as there's a saying in Minnesota,
okay.
Like stay in your own lane, you know?
Yeah.
But they like to, you know, be in business and gossip. And I'm not used to that, cause I'm not that type of person.
Right.
So that was like the gossip and trying to be in my business and stuff basically drove me fucking insane.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it is what it is. I tried to navigate the waters and steer through everything, you know, as the best I could.
Of course.
And I had a lot of fun, and you know, regardless of you know, people being picking and proding and being in my business, Or is it prodding? Or is it prodding? Probably,
yeah,
right?
Prodding.
Yeah, prodding. That's ridiculous. Come on, Mike. I graduated. No. But I just think, you know, everybody that, you know, throughout the season, regardless of all the bullshit, I walked away with a great group of friends, and I think the world of everybody, and yeah. I think they're all really great, and I mean, we all hang out outside of the house, you know, and it's a lot of fun. I feel very lucky to have them as friends and being a part of my life. So yeah, as much as they drove me crazy, I love them.
They're like
yeah.
a family. Yeah, right? Family
and,
drives you nuts.
And you can't and you know, the one thing I have to say is you can't. You can try and explain to people, but nobody will really know until they experience it. Like, there's a special bond that we all have. I feel like I've known them for like 20 years. You know.
Yeah.
But I haven't. It's been literally less than a year.
Right.
But there's a special bond that gets created being in that situation that I've never had. I mean, I've even with like my hockey buddies and living in college and playing hockey with the boys and stuff, it was like there was always a tight bond there. But the connection I have with everybody being in the house is there's something special about it. I'm extremely thankful for it, I should say, you know.
Yeah.
It's cool. Yeah.
So give us one more hint before we wrap up about what the future holds for you and Hannah.
Oh, wow. Jeez. I don't know. Well, there's Hannah's got some comedy stuff out on the West Coast coming up here, and I'm thinking about flying out to support her a little bit, and maybe we'll go down to Big Sur and go hiking and have some fun. So
nice.
Talking about it a bit. I was actually talking to her on the way over here. I'm like, I'm f***ing late. I'm hungover. I'm dying. What do I do? Like, this sucks. My alarm didn't go off. And she's like, just relax, honey. And I'm like, okay.
No, I love Hannah.
No, but I was talking on the way over here, and she's great, man. So as far as me and Hannah, you're going to have to wait and see what happens. But yeah, I'm thinking a West Coast trip would be kind of fun. So I need a vacation from the city anyway.
Yeah, yeah. You deserve it.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long, long hockey season, and I, you know, it was a long summer, and we just wrapped up our hockey season now. So I feel like I need like a week off, you know,
yeah.
to get out of here.
Sweet.
Fun. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Luke. It was great to meet you.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks.
Do you feel like there's something that's blocking you from being truly happy or preventing you from achieving your goals?
With over 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists in all 50 states, BetterHelp Online Counseling is here for you.
Users can connect with counselors in a safe, private, and convenient online setting.
You no longer have to worry about meeting with a counselor in person. With 4 available communication modes, text, chat, phone, and video, you'll be able to make appointments through your desktop, laptop, and cell phone.
Go at your own time and pace while speaking to licensed counselors who are specialized in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, grief, and more. Anything you say is confidential.
If you're not happy with your selected counselor at any time, you can request a new one for no additional charge.
Best of all, it's a truly affordable option. Daily Dish listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code DISH. That's D-I-S-H.
So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/dish.
Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/dish. You know those mornings when you feel like you just can't get it right?
Overslept, caught in traffic, coffee spilled on your crisp white shirt. It can be hard out there.
But you know what'll transform your morning? Dave's Killer Bread. Dave's hearty lineup of morning makers, organic bread, bagels, and English muffins are here to revive your day and fix all the things. And it tastes real good.
Never skip on DKB, a guaranteed fresh start. Visit daveskillerbread.com to learn more and look for Dave's Killer Bread in the bread aisle of your local grocery store. All right, let's talk Shaws of Sunset. So I've been almost living vicariously through you because you've watched so much further ahead because it's your show.
Yeah.
So
I work on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's Megan owns Shaws of Sunset. She is the executive producer.
Yeah.
No, she is a show site producer for it. So you've been kind of on top of all this drama. You know what's to come.
Yeah.
So I just like, I've been watching you react over the course of the last few weeks as you watch all this stuff. So
because I'll stand up and be like, Eric. Do you want to know what just happened?
And I'm like, no, I want to wait because I really do like to watch as right. close to when it airs so I can just like feel like I'm reacting in time with everybody. But I mean, this season so far is so good.
So good.
Yeah.
I've been telling everyone I know you need to be watching this season.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always loved Shaw's, but I just feel like if you're like me and you feel like you know these people because you've been watching them so long, it's a very pivotal season in terms of like the way the relationships are going down.
Right. Everything has changed.
Yeah.
I did want to bring up one thing that I thought was kind of weird, and it's that there was so much more to the text that Reza sent than what Tommy, I think, presented to MJ.
The way that Tommy made it seem is that Reza was just like, congrats on the baby, bye.
You send her my love.
Reza's response to Tommy's text message was like, prayers for like a speedy recovery. Who says that? That's something that you say to like a distant acquaintance.
But what Reza showed Mike was like a much more thoughtful thing.
I wrote, thank God the baby is here. I'm devastated about Maris. Thank you for texting me. Please keep me posted on her recovery and please let me know if you need anything. Praying for a speedy recovery for her.
But to me, that doesn't really change it because why are you texting versus being there?
Well, right. That was my next point, is that it's still not enough.
Yeah.
With everything that she went through with the pregnancy and, you know, the complications, it just, those are the moments that you need the support around you. And so I understand why she's still upset, but it's also like Tommy was a little bit playing that situation.
But yeah, what is it? What's the deal? Because if this is before anything went down with Allie, then why wasn't Reza at the hospital?
I don't know. I think it's maybe him just being caught up in his own life. He's got the new house. He's got this, you know, brand that he's trying to launch that he invested all of his money in, it seems.
Which, by the way, that's, I'm nervous for him.
Yeah. I'm nervous for both of them because he also invested Adam's money. That's scary.
Yeah.
That's really scary.
What do you think your product would be? Your Bravo Celebrity
product?
What
do you think your life savings are? I was going to be like, not much.
How much is in your savings right now?
Oh, God. If I could have a product?
Yeah.
It like, would probably be something like CBD related.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would yours be?
I don't know. Because the thing about Reza's is I was like, is that what people equate Reza with? Like hair? You know? Like,
yeah.
That's not necessarily what I think of when I first see him.
Right.
So I'm like, what would people equate with me?
Sex toys.
Okay, I really wanted you to say that. I'm so glad you did. Yes, mine would be a sex toy.
You can like go into business with candy.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you.
just putting it out there. Candy Burris, you heard it here.
Thank you so much.
Well, also speaking of Adam and Reza, and this came up, I think, at the last reunion, and I think MJ was the one who said it, that perhaps Reza and Adam have an open relationship, but they're not super open about it.
You know, this is my theory on most couples.
Well, right. And so it just seems like the way Reza is reacting to everything and the way Adam is not denying certain things like the naked Jenga, I just feel like maybe their relationship is, you know, not as traditional as perhaps everyone is used to, and they just don't want to be talking about it as much.
Yeah. But okay, regardless if they're open or not, it just sounds like Adam is really inappropriate in terms of sending unwanted text messages.
Right, right.
Like Mike said it at the reunion that they flashbacked to. You know, it just sounds like he has a very inappropriate sense of humor.
Right. But it might cross the line.
But crosses the line.
What do you think his nickname for his butt is? Because that's what Mike brought up.
I don't know. You would have one.
I think, and also just from some of the very committed, you know, I will say gay relationships that I know, there are a lot of them that do welcome third parties into the bedroom, even if they may be in a committed relationship, even if they may be married. Like, who is to say? But this isn't so uncommon. I mean, that was a huge storyline on Orange County last season with Bronwyn. And even then, it turned out Tamra. So having threesomes or having an unconventional structure to your relationship that allows you to be a little more sexually free is maybe okay. But it seems like everyone is kind of now using whatever their situation is against Reza and Adam, and it's just getting very messy.
Yeah, I agree.
I have to say that Tommy's sort of eccentric behavior reminds me very much of like a Simpsons cartoon character.
Okay.
Like I feel like we've seen him in animated form.
Right. He would be the kind of guy that hangs out at Moe's.
Yeah. And he's just like always screaming about something. Yeah. He's like making jokes, which are like pretty funny, but you're also like, why is he yelling so much?
I love Tommy. Like I do, because I do feel like he's such a character.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine living with someone who's like that 24/7.
I would need earplugs. I just love when MJ's mom is around too, because she just like, she's always just like holding the baby and just like looking away as Tommy's like screaming about something, calling people whores of West Hollywood or whatever it may be.
Like everyone doesn't know that Adam is the hillbilly whore of WeHo, bro. You know what I'm saying?
God bless her.
Oh gosh. Destiny.
Yeah.
Like going hard after Sara's brother.
I mean, he's quite cute.
He is cute.
And Destiny is like very single.
But it's getting hot.
It was like getting hot right in front of everybody,
too. I know.
Right?
At a Topgolf of all places.
I mean, listen, Vegas brings out the crazy in people.
Right.
And then we do see them by the end of the episode making their way to a room going
Did
down.
She keep her ice on?
No.
Did he take direction well?
Possibly. We'll find out. I got the chance to sit down with MJ from Shaws of Sunset, and she talks about her new journey with motherhood, who out of the cast she would feel comfortable with babysitting Shams, and she shares her opinion on what the future holds for her friendship with Reza. Plus, in honor of International Women's Day, she reveals who she considers her role model. Let's just say it's good as hell. Here's that interview. Guys, we are here with MJ from Shaws of Sunset. Hey, MJ, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. So ahead of this season, with everything that happened last year, were you nervous at all for the season to start?
I'm sure I had a lot of apprehension, anxiety, hurt, disappointment, so many feelings, and not just mine, but also Tommy, mm-hmm. who is a super tough guy who always culturally has to keep a stiff upper lip and a strong face. But, you know, we have a beautiful baby to focus on the positive. And that is, you know, why I have this dichotomy that I live in constantly, where you've got this beautiful blessing and then you've got this ugly pain.
Yeah.
For BS.
Right.
Am I supposed to cuss? Do you encourage?
You can cuss. Oh, please. Just be yourself.
I mean, it was like bullshit. Total effing bullshit.
Yeah. Do you think having the cameras with you through the whole process helped the experience or kind of made it a little more complicated?
It definitely made it harder. Not, first of all, not being there when everyone else was hanging out, spending time talking about what was unfolding, and a lot of people being very dishonest and not honorable in their versions of a story. Everyone seemed to want to like just double down on something that dragged me. And instead of me being around, I was, you know, either recovering in the hospital or caring for a newborn and staying really focused on what I was doing, thinking, you know what? I am going to give all of my friends the benefit of the doubt. It didn't turn out that way at all.
Yeah.
And no, it's you're probably the most vulnerable when you have a baby.
Of course. Well, before we get into all of the drama with Reza and everybody, you know, your pregnancy had some really scary complications. So what was that experience like, and where did you pull support from to kind of get through that?
The first thing was I had a really strong sense of hopeful optimism. My dad is going to protect me. This is meant to be. This incompetent cervix is not as big as what we're in God's hands to have a baby. Like if you're meant to have a baby, you'll have it even if there was an issue during your pregnancy. So that was the first one, which put me on my bed rest.
Yeah.
And then toward the end of the pregnancy, there was something called cholestasis, can cause a sudden stillbirth when you're almost at the finish line. And then the challenging labor and delivery. I mean, I hope to go on and talk about my story and share it so that other women will be inspired, not scared.
Right.
You know, and so it was obviously worth it. None of it did I know it was ahead of me, but I just hung out. My husband was amazing. He was the number one support system, and the doctors were great. The medical staff was great. And then my dad, I feel like he was just around taking care of us.
Right. What advice would you give women who are going through something similar? Is it just kind of keeping that positive attitude and just putting the faith where it belongs?
My advice is one thing and one thing only. Be positive, be optimistic, and then be positive and be optimistic. Keep it light. Keep smiling. Keep laughing. Relax. Do not stress out. None of it is productive. And that is my number one rock solid piece of advice.
Yeah. Well, I will say, even watching the footage back, you know, they're talking in the shows about how scary it is and everything that you're going through, but you do maintain sort of a lightness that I think we didn't expect to see through from someone who's going through something like that. So, I mean, you did a great job about keeping that positivity.
I got it from my papa.
Yeah.
Yes.
The rumors that start about Adam, you know, did you have animosity towards Destiny? Because she sort of was like, you need to ask Mercedes about that.
I don't mind that she said that, because I understand that she sees a hierarchy within the group of us. And I appreciate that Destiny acknowledges a hierarchy of a longstanding relationship.
Yeah.
What happens and what I hear happens from Nima is that she lies and she drags. And then as you watch the season unfold, I will be seeing all of this as for the first time. There's a lot that I don't know. And again, I wasn't there. I wasn't there not only not to defend myself, to speak my own side of a story, but also to then see an opportunity for them to lie on my behalf just to cover their own ass. So yeah. I don't like what she does. I'm very, very, very hurt. Very hurt by Destiny.
Have you had a chance to confront her or Allie for everything that they were saying?
You will definitely see that in the season.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Rewatching the first episode, were you surprised at the way that Reza reacted to that information or alleged information?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that very thing for every day since it happened.
Okay.
His reaction. I just thought, like, how could you react that way? I mean, well, there's more to it, right? So I know when actually, let me just bring this, like, let me circle back and bring this back into your actual question. When I watched, I thought Reza handled himself pretty well, because he got this information and then he waited for everyone to clear out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked Adam point blank. Adam kind of had like a kind of a guilty look on his face. And I think Reza handled himself well. I think that what we see in the preview for the next episode, I don't think that Reza handled himself well. But I mean, if I were to be in a situation where someone told me that my husband might have been unfaithful, I would just take it up with my husband. I probably wouldn't involve anyone else in it.
Right. No, that's true. I mean, we see his reaction in the following episode where he, you know, is out at lunch and he flips out and he throws the water. And then shortly thereafter, he calls you. But at this point, you're in the ICU.
Yes, I am.
So he calls and he has basically a very confrontational, you know, attitude towards you. So what was going through your head in that moment?
I was like, Reza, what are you talking about?
Right. You're like, I have other things to worry about.
No, but also I also dealt with him at that moment. I was like, I actually constituted that with an answer. I said, I was like, come on. Like, what are you talking about? Really?
Yeah.
Are you seriously asking me these questions? Like, have I ever compromised your, you know, the integrity of our friendship? Come on.
And
show up, come over here. I'm still under anesthesia. You have nothing to worry about. Obviously, I did not do that. And then, no.
Well, that was the other thing. He didn't show up. He didn't even come through to see you when you were in the ICU and through everything that you went through. So how did that make you feel without him being there?
I was like kind of spinning between two things. I had to get snuck out of ICU for 35 minutes to see my son in the nursery. And then, like, got, you know, like, snuck back in. And then on the other hand, I'm thinking, like, okay, well, if he didn't come right now, maybe he'll come later. And then a day passes, and you're like, I'm still kind of focused on my son. And then 3 days pass, and then I was like, God damn it. Like, this is embarrassing. You know, Tommy's best man has flown here from New York 3 days ago and stayed for 2 whole weeks with us. Didn't even go to a hotel, stayed right next to us. So I started to compare it to Tommy's friend, Johnny, and that really started to, like, make me feel like, what the heck is the point of having a 30-year-long relationship friendship if you're not going to show up for each other and give each other some, you know, love, support that you well deserve?
Of course, we'll show up for each other in a situation where you really need that, too.
Absolutely. Tommy needed it, you guys.
Yeah.
Tommy needed that. That's why Tommy while he was in the dark, not knowing what was going to happen, reached out to Reza. Tommy needed Reza.
Yeah.
Reza never, I don't think, ever stopped to think that that is what Tommy was doing.
Right, right. That's true. I mean, I didn't even think of that perspective either. So you and Reza saw each other at BravoCon, and that was the first time you had seen each other in probably quite some time.
So awkward.
What was that interaction like?
It was painful. It was awkward. It was an out-of-body experience. It felt so weird to me. I was like kind of grossed out by him. He had this big, weird, glassy smile across his face, and I wanted to like slap him. Like, stop acting like a weirdo, dude.
Well, it was at the Watch What Happens Live, right? The biggest Watch What Happens Live ever?
Yes.
So did you at least have fun outside of running into Reza?
Yes, I had a great time our fans, interacting with the people who, you know, went through so much trouble to meet us.
Yeah. Reza was here not too long ago, and he did say that he prays for your friendship to be repaired. So do you have a similar feeling? Do you think that there's hope?
Okay, this is not the first time that someone has asked me this question, but in this moment, I don't feel a lot of compassion for that question, for him saying that, because his behavior does not support that. I think that he's turning something on for you guys that he's not showing me behind the scenes, and I don't appreciate that.
Right. I think it's actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, it's like a victim role or some kind of game.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Well, I know we're going to see this season the actual kind of culmination of what goes down.
Yeah.
Did you expect it to sort of escalate to that point?
Heck no.
Right.
Of course not.
Yeah.
You know, coming to break the ice, see my friends, squash it in 5 minutes, and start like embracing each other and planning, you know, Gulnessa's baby shower. That's kind of where I was at.
Yeah. Did you expect Tommy to react the way he did?
No, I did not.
What was your reaction to that?
Heartbreak. I was just like, wow, this is just getting like crazier and it's escalating.
Yeah.
And as it did.
Well, let's lighten things up a little bit.
Okay, please.
You're like, yeah, let's do that. So we know Gigi is becoming a mother.
Yay.
So have you been able to sort of give her advice? What advice have you given her?
I don't want to give someone advice who is doing something so different from me.
Fair.
And I want to just be very respectful and supportive. I sent her the giving tree, and, you know, that always makes me cry. It always reminds me of my dad. She also has an extremely selfless dad. So I was like, and we're also not as close as I hope that we will be someday soon. So I kind of like send her a nice message. Then I'm like, I know you probably need space. And she's always really responsive, and I really appreciate that about her. So she's going to teach and inspire a lot of women to do motherhood the way that she's doing it. And
yeah,
I'm really into that for her.
What is one thing that you've learned since becoming a mother? What's the biggest thing you've learned?
You don't think about yourself at all.
Like, yeah,
if I drink enough water in one day, that's a huge win. If I run a brush through my hair or past my teeth, I don't know. It's like you're all about baby, and you're okay with that because you want to be all about the baby. So that's surprising, because I didn't think that I was going to be so happy to be so selfless every single day. It's like we were almost cornering a year in, and I'm like, all right, fine, maybe I'll do something good for myself.
Yeah.
Here and there.
How has the baby changed your relationship?
Well, Tommy and I do see a marriage counselor.
Okay.
And it's amazing, because people tell us, have a date night, and we look at each other like, we don't really feel like we need a date night yet. So when you sit down with someone who's so talented at like helping the two of us communicate, she is so instrumental in teaching us both to have compassion for each other and truly put ourselves in each other's shoes. And we drive home and we start talking about the session. That to me is like such a gift, because he says to me, I love you even more because you gave me him, and I love him so much, so I love you more. And I think to myself, like, this is my dream.
Yeah.
This is all I ever dreamed of when I thought I was being unrealistic about what I could actually have in life, in a husband and a child.
But to your point, too, about going to see a marriage counselor, it does take a lot of work and putting in the effort.
Yes.
So it's good to see that.
We gain weight. We lose weight. We neglect ourselves. We have one good day at the gym. Then we feel fat again. Then we feel, you know, exhausted, and we're delirious, and we're anxious, and we're new at everything. And then he's doing something different. And then, you know, he's such a good dad, too. So, of course, it's going to be a little complicated.
Yeah. Who of your cast members do you trust the most to babysit?
Mike and Shervin.
Okay.
Mike and Shervin.
Who do you trust the least?
I don't trust anybody else.
Leave it at that.
A country mile.
If anyone on the cast is next, who would it be to get married?
Okay, so Mike is going to get married to Paulina, right? Hopefully.
I hope so.
Of the direction that they're talking about tattooing the date. Did you see that in the episode last week?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was so funny because you saw like Nima and Shervin and Mona's reaction to that.
Yeah.
So they should get married. And then maybe when Golnessa has like a mommy and me class, she might meet her husband.
Ooh.
And then she might become like an instant stepmom. And then she'll get married.
Oh, I like that prediction.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that's
pretty
good.
Happens.
Can you tell us a little bit more about Paulina? Because we're just meeting her for the first time, so I'm very curious.
She's really cool. First of all, she's amazing. She's an amazing mother. She has incredible style. Now, because she has two siblings that I think are two brothers,
mm-hmm.
She has become a little bit of like a black sheep. She does whatever she wants. She's very open-minded. She's very liberal. She's got a strong will. She is just the perfect yin or yang to Mike's
right.
Yin or yang.
Yeah. I think that's well said. I know it's kind of far in the future, but do you have any expectations for what's going to happen at the reunion this season?
Honey, I wish the reunion was tomorrow morning. I am so ready. I want to hear what everyone has to say for themselves.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap it up with something else positive. International Women's Day is coming up. So can you share with us who in your life, which female has been a big role model for you?
I will say today my current is Lizzo. Because,
ooh.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
You know, I knew I did the body positivity and the body confidence thing maybe 6 or 7 or 10 years ago. But I love seeing the way that she's doing it. And she's, of course, got this beautiful talent as well. So she's so prolific. I really think that she's beautiful, brave, and bold and talented, and she's got that swag. So I love seeing that all the time, all day long.
That's awesome.
Listening
I couldn't agree
to her
more.
Lyrics, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, MJ, for coming in. It was great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
I wish you had baby Shans.
I know. Next time.
Next time.
Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Woo! We got a supersized episode this week.
Sure did.
I was like, oh my God, it's still going. It's still going. An extra 10 minutes. Feels like we were watching a feature film.
So that charity event was something.
Ooh.
Something.
I mean, before we even got there, there was the whole issue with the invitations.
Right.
So it was already setting up to be kind of a shit show, just in terms of the drama that was probably going to come along with it.
And then Mark not trusting Kenya, who knows this group better than anyone, and is like, if they don't all sit together, they're going to be pissed.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's fine.
For him to override her like that when she was the one, which we saw all of the clips of her making phone calls, booking things, doing so much of the organizing, for him to override that and totally move everybody around, like that's not how this group of ladies works.
It's also like the whole, you're supposed to dress me for this event. I don't like the options you pulled.
Yeah, what?
I have a couple of options for your tie. Huh?
It's a little busy, but okay.
I think that's really kind of retro looking.
That's one.
And then you have this one. But I tried my best. Just told me this morning I didn't know I had to dress you.
I told you 3 days ago.
No, you didn't. You told me this morning.
You weren't paying attention.
Okay, well, hopefully you appreciate it.
What is wrong with you?
I think it took everything Kenya had to not flip out in that moment.
Yeah, thank God he was holding the baby.
And thank God the cameras were there. And you're right, with the baby, I don't think she was ever going to like pop off the way that she probably could. I mean, as we know, given the information that comes at the end of the episode, they were hanging on by a thread at this point and like unraveling quickly. So for her to just like maintain that patience, but I guess we were seeing a little bit of Ken and not Kenya in that
moment.
I mean,
it does make me look at Mark in a different way where I'm like, oh, this is someone who really expects like a traditional wife.
Right.
That's not Kenya.
No. No. And I think Kenya will be that and she will maintain that position if she's respected and appreciated and like she'll be there for someone. She's a great partner. It doesn't have to be like this is the woman's role, but I think
right.
She would be a great partner to someone who would respect and appreciate her. And it doesn't seem like Mark is doing either one of those things anymore.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish that we had a chance to see them early on in their relationship, but there weren't cameras. She had left the show for a while. We didn't get to really see a lot of their early stages.
Yeah.
And I would just love to know what it was like then and what how they were back then, because it just like what we're seeing now is just so awful.
And that's a good point, because it's I think why I'm so invested in Portia's relationship with her guy, because yeah. I'm like, I saw the very beginning stages, and that's when you're seeing people at their best and they're treating each other at their best.
Yeah. Right. We're seeing Mark at a very different time.
Yeah.
So that's probably also assisting our judgments of him.
But what I also didn't like about that charity dinner is it's like, okay, there were speakers, but I don't know. There were just, it seemed like there were people always milling around. Like usually at those types of functions, aren't people seated listening?
Yeah, it was like orderly
or eating
chaos.
While it happens. Like, yeah.
Yeah, there didn't seem to be a proper run of show and like any. And then for him to ask like Mike Sterling, can you speak? And he was like, I'm
who
not prepared.
Who did an amazing job
I know,
off
he
the
did.
Fly.
And Eva missed the whole thing because she had to go check on Marlo because she was about to storm out of the event. But yeah, I mean, it just seemed to be a little bit like if Kenya was doing all of the logistics, maybe Mark could have stepped up to organize that part a little better. And for him to also bypass Mike and Cynthia upon arrival and go around to all of the other people to say hi and then come around to say hello to them, that was awkward.
I don't know.
I think he did look good in the suit Kenya picked, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's a very good-looking man.
Don't you think if... And no shade to Wendy. But if Wendy Williams is the person you are confiding in, don't you think you should maybe, you know, rethink some things?
Wendy's a friend of mine. We've known each other 13 years now. She has a heart that people don't know about. And I have a heart that I'm sure that people can't see. And she sees it. She gets it.
You know, Wendy Williams is a talk show host, which is in the realm of journalism,
yeah.
Which typically the rule is if you're speaking to a journalist, anything you say is on the record,
yeah.
Unless you say this is off the record.
Yeah.
And there was a bit of, you know, they were in hot water not too long ago about something that Nene allegedly said to Wendy, and Wendy went, you know, to
and
the press about
the show,
it, talked
yeah.
about it. Yeah. So it's sort of like, and so I don't know. I think Wendy gave Nene some pretty sound advice and gassed her up a bit and was like trying to get her excited about this trip to Greece. So I did appreciate that. And she didn't really have anything negative to say about the other ladies, even Kenya. She was like, Kenya's going to do her thing and she's on her own journey, blah, blah, blah. But I still just feel like, I don't know. I'd be always concerned that something I would say would just get out there or get back to me.
Well, I want to talk about the end of the episode with Mark, you know, storming out and being like, you need to stop filming
yeah.
me or I'm going to get angry.
Tell them that's it. They can't film forever. Tell them they got to wrap it.
Got it.
Don't tell me I got it. I'm giving you 5 minutes and then I'm going to take care of it. If I come back down, it's not going to be ugly. I don't give a F.
And then you see the next day they filed for divorce separately.
Yeah.
Each of them did. What do you think happened? Like, clearly they were not in a good place. I get that. But how do you get to the point that the next day you're both like, oh, well, fuck you, I'm going to divorce you. Fuck you, I'm going to divorce you.
I think that's exactly how they got to that point is
yeah.
by saying those things. I also feel as though Mark doesn't like the cameras and he doesn't like what comes with the cameras. And that is the drama. And that is not Kenya's whole life, but it is a big part of who she is professionally. It's a big part of just her journey as a woman at this point. So he always seems to act weird when the cameras are around. We've sort of felt that the whole season. I think the cameras being present at this event of his was causing him a lot of frustration. But it definitely, there had to be something bigger than that that was the straw that broke the camel's back. For
no.
them the next day, there had to have been something else that maybe happened when the cameras weren't there. For them to both go separately, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. I also just don't understand what egregious thing she did. Like, he just seems so upset with her
yeah.
that whole night. It's like, well, what, you know, what did she do?
And he didn't thank her
yeah.
during the speech, which was awkward. I mean, I can't imagine. And maybe that was what it was. Maybe she was just like, that was the last thing she needed to see of like, you don't respect me. You don't appreciate me. I'm going to go file for divorce. I feel like it was her who said it first. And then he was like, I'm going to go.
I just think that Kenya needs someone who's almost like a Greg to Nene, which mm-hmm. is someone who like recognizes that this person is the center of attention. And like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to let that person, I'm going to support them. I don't think he can do that.
I don't think so either. I think he has too big of an ego.
Yeah.
And he is also really adhered to gender roles. And we've seen Kenya be way more submissive than we've ever seen her. But I think Nene even says at some point in this episode, she's not being her true self with him. And that's probably why it's never going to work, because she's not allowed to be who she is. You want to do Rose and Thorn?
I sure do.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
My rose is our new show, Family Karma. It is such a just nice, like, Sarah, you were telling me, you're like, this is a good show. Like, it's just a nice, refreshing, like, this is just a fun, I don't know, yeah. like a fun family show.
I mean, I love when we get to meet new people, see new dynamics, learn about cultures that we might not know yeah. before. So I'm very excited about the show.
What was your rose?
My rose was from Shaws of Sunset, and it was Gigi driving in the car with her mom and her just like flipping out every second about it and like screaming at her. And then her mom's like doing her makeup while they're waiting. And she's like, Mom, turn. And then she's yelling at her about parking.
There's no stop sign here. Life. This is Sawtelle. It says it right in front of you. I say that to you every time. Mom, you're putting on makeup.
It's a very exciting time.
Mom, use your blinker.
I feel like it's just a very relatable circumstance. Usually I think you behave that way when you're like a teenager and you're with your mom and she's driving crazy or whatever. But
right.
I living in New York now, have a lot more anxiety being a passenger in a car. So I just feel like I understand where Gigi was coming from. Okay, what was your thorn?
My thorn was Vanderpump Rules, those text messages that James sent Raquel.
Oh my God.
You, where are you? I'm breaking up with you. Whore. Slut whore. You.
But you know, I will say, like, the silver lining of all of this is I loved watching the way Raquel finally stood up for herself.
Yeah.
And was like, here's the ultimatum, because you're not allowed to talk to me like that.
I mean, she has to. She's so young, and he just keeps losing control of his temper. Yeah. So it's good to see her finally being like, I'm putting my foot down.
Right.
And if he wants to keep, probably one of the best things that's ever happened to him is Raquel. If he wants to keep her, he needs to work for it.
What was your thorn?
My thorn was the fact that Tom Schwartz's lizard died. Mm. It was not doing well ever since he got it home from the pet store, wasn't eating. Stassi even tried to cheer it up last week. But then he died. It's never good losing a pet.
Never.
Sorry, Tom.
Next week, we have interviews with the Real Housewives of Atlanta's Eva Marcel and Family Karma's Vishal Parvani. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.